This is The Topic is Trek, episode 23 for Friday, June 29th, 2018. Yabba Dabo Doo. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! So dramatic. Hello, everyone. I'm Clinton, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts, and beaming in to join me, as always, are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hello, everybody. Whoa, where's my pants?
I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know.
They're in a transporter buffer.
Oh, okay. So, Mr. Chuck Tomasi, can you beam in better?
Happy Epopnista Day to you too.
Like a well-oiled machine, this podcast is.
When is this goes out on Friday, so the listener will probably get it around Epopnista Day.
Exactly.
I'll edit all this up and make it sound really smooth.
Silk purse.
Good luck on that. That's right.
You get some sort of Nobel Prize in podcasting for that.
That's right.
Bow before me.
It's just a button you push. He's not oppressing anyone. Anyway.
Before pod. I'm sorry. I did do that one.
So you two gentlemen seem to be in a chipper mood this evening, now that you've beamed yourself in. Yeah. So we're going to get right down to it because we have a lot to talk about in this episode. And before we get into subspace chatter itself, I want to cover a story that broke right after we recorded our last episode. They think they knew that we were done. So they said, let's have this announcement. And it was that Star Trek Discovery showrunners Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harberts were let go from the series.
Oh.
The duo, as we know, stepped in when co-creator Brian Fuller departed the show prior to the first season to focus on American Gods. Everyone remembers that. Ooh, what's going to happen to the show when that happens?
Right.
And the dismissal came during a pre-planned hiatus after production of the first batch of the episodes for season two. So they've already done several. It's unclear to me whether they've done five or more, but they planned on this little hiatus break here and that's when it happened. According to The Hollywood Reporter, which is a news site, not just one guy roaming around.
There he is. Chip. No. Yes.
The Hollywood Reporter. I just want to make that clear. Bergen Harbert's exit was based on leadership and operational issues and not creative issues. They go on to say that the ouster was due to reports of a hostile writer's room with multiple writers on the series reportedly feeling uncomfortable from abusive behavior. And in addition, the budget for the first five episodes reportedly ballooned beyond expectations and will have an effect on the remaining episodes of season two.
So we're going back to the cardboard set. So
yep,
the TOS.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yep.
And a guy behind there going, shh, shh.
Hey,
that's the perfect. They said they would wrap up everything and make it canon by the end of season two.
So you got the little chiclet lights, and we're gonna.
Lift door is open a little uneven.
Yeah. Sulu's board is gonna light up like Christmas tree. There's one light flashing.
And the other part of the story is that Bergen and Harbert's responsibilities will now be handled by executive producer and co-creator Alex Kurtzman. Kurtzman will also run the show's writer's room, and we'll have more on Kurtzman in our main mission section.
Mm-hmm.
One of the little tidbits that came out of this, though, was that the official CBS press release indicates that we will not be seeing season two until 2019.
Oh, right.
Ugh. Wait, wait, I got that.
Get out and push.
That's a, it seems like a long wait, but you know, Game of Thrones fans can wait, so can we.
Yeah, I mean, we'll, we're going to be talking about some other stuff in our main mission, which again might be related to this and might be the impetus for some of the things that are going to be going on.
Well, and yeah, maybe we'll get into this a little bit more later, as you alluded to, but I think if they start doing some of the spinoff stuff that they've been talking about, kind of fill in the blanks, and it won't be like so long without any new Trek. It'll have like other Trek in between.
I hope so, because my CBS All Access Pass ain't doing me anything right now.
That's right. You're not watching, oh, I forgot the name of the new series they started up that they, you know, the trying to get to the moon type of thing, but it's set in the 50s. I can't remember what the name of that show is. But
no, but I do get two Green Bay Packers games this fall.
Well, there you go. Worth the price of admission. Right. All right. On that sports-related note, because the topic is Trek.
After all that sports ball. Yeah, let's move along.
It's time to open up our subspace chatter.
This or nothing. It worked.
It did. Because magically, here's Chuck with our first story.
Oh, I got to push buttons and read.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Not at the same time, though.
Set that down and bring this up. So Star Trek, the animated series, meets the Transformers in IDW's next crossover. This is from CBR.com, not to be confused with CBS, which is right next door in the alphabet.
I did not realize that. Yes.
Two highly popular franchises, each of which featured equally populated animated series, will soon come together in the comic book medium in IDW's Star Trek versus Transformers. Four-issue miniseries from writers John Barber and Mike Johnson, artists Philip Murphy and colorist Leonardo Ito. Quote, the funny thing is, even though I'm the Transformers guy on this comic, I've written a lot of Transformer comics after all. I've always been a huge Star Trek fan ever since I was a kid, Barber said in the statement. When I was in the fifth grade, I remember my teacher joking, and at the end of the year, that maybe someday I'd wind up writing Star Trek, and it's a thrill to finally get to.
Did you just kind of revert back to like the a young kid? What is that?
Yeah. It's a good thing because his sixth grade
teacher. I'm telling mom.
His sixth grade teacher said he'd wind up in jail.
Chewy for you, kid.
Right.
This is definitely a dream come true project for me. It's my first time getting to draw Transformers and Star Trek, added Murphy. Not only am I a huge Trek fan, but I was born in the 80s, so I grew up in the golden era of Saturday morning cartoons, and the Transformers was definitely on the top of my list. This comic really means something special to me. This is a crossover several decades in the making, and we could not be more thrilled to bring it to fans, said Johnson. John and I are having a blast writing the first meeting of Starfleet and Cybertronians. That's just a hard word to read.
Yeah, Cybertronians.
Said Phil. It is the perfect artist to bring these two franchises together on the page. And we have a couple of pages if you follow the show notes links through there. The thing I don't know, I'm curious to see what the storyline is, because it says Star Trek versus Transformers as if they're on opposite sides of something, but yet the Transformers, aren't they like protecting people? And
right.
Some of them are.
But the illustrations seem to show them like working together. So yeah. I'm assuming, you know, they're
I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
Is it just the Autobots, or are the Decepticons not on the cover? I don't quite understand. And does the Enterprise actually transform into something? I want to know.
Yeah, that's a good. Well, on this cover, it might transform into a Klingon battle cruiser.
Your communicator is a Decepticon. Watch out!
The Enterprise turned into a Star Destroyer. What?
My communicator only plays songs now. It's just like little bits and pieces of things. Bumblebee callback. What's interesting about this, because I don't follow these comics, is that it literally is the look of the Star Trek, the animated series characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, some of the poses are exactly the poses you see on the series.
I'm going to check it out. I don't care. I don't know about y'all, but I will.
Yeah, they don't look like they worked too hard to make it a comic book. It looks like they took them right off of the screen.
Yep.
Well, I think they actually did well, because what else would you want? It's the animated series meets Transformers, so they're two styles that are
together. We apparently get Eric's off the bridge here in one of these shots. So that's
calling cannon cool. fodder. Spock's insignia on his shirt is way too big.
Hey, if I call cannon nothing on his on a show that that has the Transformers in it. Let's be honest here.
Hey, did y'all read the?
I'm trying to make it work.
And did y'all look at? Remember, they had a crossover with the Doctor Who.
Did y'all read that?
Yeah. Did y'all read that?
I looked through the pages that were, you know, they'd be like a bunch of preview.
Just
pages.
Looked at the pictures
and said,
"Isn't that what you're supposed to do in a comic book?"
Well, I bought the comic. I bought one comic, and you know what is amazing? When I opened up the covers, it was bigger on the inside. But yeah. Anyway,
I don't have a room shot
like
on this.
It looks like 10 pages, but it's like 40.
Yeah, how does that happen? Yeah. All right, let's move along to something much more serious. Another comic. That's right. This comes to us from comicbook.com. So clearly it's comic. Star Trek finally reveals what happened to Emperor Spock.
What happened to Emperor Spock?
Now we know what you're thinking. What we know from Star Trek canon, again, not Transformers, based on the Mirror Universe episode from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, is that Spock rose in the ranks of the Terran Empire to become Commander-in-Chief. He instituted numerous reforms, but those reforms were said to have failed and left the Empire too weak to defend itself against the Klingon-Cardassian Alliance. The Alliance attacked and is still angry over their race's previous treatment by the Terran Empire, enslaving Vulcans and humans alike. Mm. Ripe for Plunder, which is this comic, reveals that that's only partially the truth. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, again, this is the Mirror Jean-Luc Picard, who stole the Empire's new ship Enterprise, discovers that historical files on Spock, who evidently rose to become Terran Emperor, have been altered, and sends Data to investigate. It turns out Spock is not dead, but in hiding after being deposed. Now, this story goes on in excruciating detail about the comic, and I don't know at what point you hit the spoiler alert on this. So I don't want to read this entire article. We will have, as Chuck mentioned, links to all the stories we're talking about over in the show notes for episode 23 at thetopicistrek.com. Ooh, we saw that one coming. Thank goodness.
I slipped.
But I think it's interesting that always was kind of this bizarre thing. The Deep Space Nine episode was really not like Deep Space Nine couldn't be depressing at times, but the idea that, what a great idea. You know, let's turn the Terran Empire to not be evil. And yeah, that worked out so horribly for the humans. I mean,
First of all, we knew that Kirk planted the seeds in Mirror Mirror. And you know, everybody is always wondering, gee, whatever happened? The fact that the Terran Empire, who is a Homo sapiens only club, sorry, Star Trek VI, has a Vulcan as their emperor. Does this not strike somebody a little off?
Well, he has the button, you know? He's got the button.
The Tantalus field?
Yeah, he's got that button. So don't make me push this button. He just carries it with wherever he goes. It's like the internet in the IT crowd. Don't make me press this button.
You drop the internet. You push the Tantalus button. All your friends disappear.
It'll release the whole world's supply of Corbomite.
Yeah, I'm all in doom. Business. So I'd be interested to see this because it sounds like a much more satisfying, well, what's really the story of what happened here? And you can read the article some more and find out some more about this. So I won't do that, but I think it's an interesting premise that there's more to this story than we were led to believe on Deep Space Nine. Mm. But we're going to move off of comic books now to a book that's kind of like a comic book for our next story.
Yeah, another animated book. Actually, Star Trek books are coming, but not necessarily the types that you want.
Hey!
I don't know if I like that lead in. Last month, I'm reading, of course, quoting from redshirtsalwaysdie.com.
Love it.
Last month, I posted about the state of Star Trek books. Yesterday, it was announced that there would be some books coming in the next couple of months. While many of these are nonfiction within the franchise, there is one that is perfect for the young children in your life. There are two books coming from Little Golden Books. These books will focus on Kirk and Spock, and these will be the first two books in the Star Trek set in the Star Trek universe in the publisher's history. Wow.
I realize that. I don't know why I say, because they had comics for all these years. They must have had a Little Golden Book.
I'm going to put Spock and Kirk right next to the Pokey Little Puppy.
Yes. Yeah.
Those were Golden Circle. Those are the old, you're talking about.
Golden Circle is what you have to pay at a creation convention.
No, I meant the comics.
I thought they were condoms.
Hey, there goes our rating up right out the door.
I know. Actually, I was just looking for, I did on my podcast over the Dog Days of Podcasting. There it is. It was, there's a Whitman. There was another Star Trek one. I'll find it in a minute, but anyway. So, Dayton Ward helped out the Incredibuilds with Star Trek and the Next Generation books that will allow you to build versions of the Enterprise and the Enterprise D. Both of these books are available now for $16.99 on the Incredibuilds website. Eagle Moss also has a second volume of Designing Starships set for release on January 9th and is available for pre-order through Amazon. This edition covers ships made after Voyager hit the airwaves. Its cover features Voyager, the Borg Sphere, Phoenix, and the Franklin, among others. In October, we will get an update to the 2011's Obsessed with Star Trek trivia that will include, that might help us on the Trek track.
It might.
That will include things that from the three Kelvin timeline films, the current ones. So there you go. And you know what? I love the cover, actually, of the Little Golden Book that they show Kirk. He's like in his, even more so prose, he's ready for action.
He is. And the Enterprise is just like whooshing away. It's like, why is he smiling? The Enterprise is leaving him behind on this planet with this creature. It doesn't make any sense.
Purple Maybe tentacles. That's his legs. Is he part of the cover? Maybe that's his legs. I love the Little Golden Books. I loved them when I was a kid. I had some neighbor, these three older ladies that lived next door to us. One of them, two of them were sisters, and one of them wasn't, but they all lived together. And one of them would read me the Pokey Little Puppy all the time. thought I'd share that with you.
What I get a kick out of is it says the Eagle Moss one and Designing Starships. And one of the starships they talk about designing is the Borg Sphere. Will you take a circle? Okay, done.
Take a styrofoam ball, and there you go.
Paint it gray and put some green on it. You're pretty well done.
Melon Hallmark Christmas ornament.
Yeah, boy. All right. Finally, we will get off of books.
I'm sorry. One second. What? I'm sorry.
We will stay on books right now. Okay.
Let me interrupt your segue. I was just looking. I saw where it says there are two books coming from Little Golden Books. It just says these books. Well, I thought they mentioned the one and they didn't mention the second. Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind. Continue.
Yeah, because they're not going to be until next year. So, wait. All right. Well, that's merchandise you can't get right now because the books are not available for pre-order and they'll be released in January of next year. However, we have a plethora. A whole cornucopia of Star Trek related items that are available now. And Chuck is going to tell you about them.
Oh, it's time once again to get caught up on the latest news in Star Trek merchandise with a number of recently announced and released products from the Final Frontier to put a dent in your wallet and the universe. We have Kirk Fu, the book. I'm not going to read all through the description of these. I'm going to cut to the chase and get to the price.
He's doing the Star Trek punch, by the way.
Yes, the two-fisted. Two-handed, yeah.
And it looks like he's smashing Khan in the mouth or some other lady with a ponytail.
It's pretty good considering they didn't see each other in the whole film.
This is from the series. This is from Space Seed.
They're clearly in engineering at this point.
Yeah, and clearly they drew the stunt doubles.
They froze the frame for reference and they did the stunt
double. Oh my. Well, that's what he looks like in the shot. I don't know.
Pre-order on Amazon for $14.99. Let's get to the good stuff. The perfect thing for a trip to Risa would be, of course, gentlemen,
the Hargon.
The Hargon.
Yes. Or if you're going on the Star Trek cruise with us in 190 days, you can have one made of genuine resin, weighs a whopping 55 ounces. What's that, about 4 pounds?
Wait a minute. Genuine resin?
Yes.
Each one individually hand-painted, so there's no two alike. And they only cost
They're free range, by the way. Free range resin.
$200,
no GMOs.
$249. I think I'm going to go get one from China for about $4, but it'll be here in 2022. Or whenever the Phoenix launches.
You print your own.
Right.
That one will also be made out of heavy metals and dangerous to your health.
New Star Trek drinkware is available. You can get coffee mugs, the Kirk mug for $19.99, or the Picard mug for the low price of $19.99. I like the Kirk one. It looks like he's holding, or the Picard one looks like he's holding a water bottle instead of a phaser.
He's pointing it at himself. I don't understand that. He's like.
Maybe he got that on Risa. I don't know.
Actually, he blew his head off. If you look at this, it's like there's no head on the mug. So he's like, beep.
Put these next to each other. So Kirk's is aiming at Picard.
You're drinking out of their necks.
We've also got water bottles for $12.99. Oh, wait, we're getting to the good stuff. The official Star Trek store also offers two Jefferies tube cooler glasses.
Okay, that one. Somebody came up. Somebody did good making that. I think that's fine.
For just $16.95, I hope those, you know, are
I might just buy them because I think I like the name.
Then we have some busts with Kirk. These have no legs. It's just like from the waist up, as if they were stuck in the bulkhead when they went through that space that had pockets in it. We've got one of those.
He moves around. It's the monster that killed Tasha Yar. They're just sinking into it.
Oh, so it was Kirk in an oil slick.
Yes.
$30 for that. Saru, I assume, is the same price. They're going to probably have these at Dragon Con, Comic Con.
Well, the Saru one is going to be only at Comic Con. It's just only at Comic Con.
And making my favorite.
Yes.
My favorite, the Discovery rifle replica from Anavos. Yes, Anavos, the company that brings you. Apparently diamond-plated something at the price this thing's available for the low price of $1,500.
It actually
works. Shut up and give me back my money.
Yeah. Is that googly eyes on the side of this thing?
It is. It's a little extra flare.
Right.
Look at it, right behind the trigger handle.
Those are
hey, for $1,500, I might be a little upset if it came with googly eyes on it.
Well, especially they're both on one side. That makes no sense at all.
If you cannot afford that $1,500 phaser rifle, what you might be able to afford for the price of $24.95 is a t-shirt with a picture of a phaser.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all you're getting.
I think we have our prizes for Dragon Con, ladies and gentlemen.
I went to the Enterprise and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Right.
And it was red. Oh, we broke the show again.
We did. And just so you know, the Jefferies Tubes glasses have the GNDN for goes nowhere, does nothing coating on the side of them.
Is that what that's for?
Yep. GNDN, goes nowhere, does nothing.
How'd you know that?
Oh, that's known. I've known this for ages.
Internet?
Yeah, pretty much. No, people talk about that. The production really? People talk about that as well. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I expect that'll come up at some point on Larry's show, The Trek Files.
All right, but let's move off of that well-priced, easy to pay for in 15,000 monthly payments of a dollar.
Of gold-pressed latinum.
Yeah. Congratulations, Clinton. Your loan's been approved.
To some news from Zachary Quinto. Talking about progress on Star Trek IV implies Kelvin crew in Tarantino Trek.
Wow, what? That's a lot of tease.
Appearing with his Boys in the Band co-stars on the Sirius Radio Andy show, Zachary Quinto responded to a question from host Andy Cohen about the status of the next Star Trek feature film. And he says, I think we are going to learn more in the next few weeks, actually. There's a fourth movie that is being developed right now. They brought in a director who is actually a wonderful woman who I have worked with before, named S.J. Clarkson, into the mix to develop and helm that project. It's now kind of in the business logistics kind of phase. This comment
scares me. I'm sorry, by the way.
What, the business logistics kind of phase?
Yeah, I'd rather it be more creative and artistic.
Well,
I know.
It says this comment is consistent with other recent comments from both Quinto and co-star Simon Pegg, expressing optimism that the sequel to Star Trek Beyond, first announced 2 years ago, is finally moving forward. Of course, the business and logistics Quinto refers to are not a small issue. A script has reportedly already been approved, but that still leaves the issue of setting a budget and arranging financing.
Yeah.
It has already been announced that Skydance, who were finance partners for the last two Trek films, is returning, but additional partners may be required. I think they had an additional partner on Star Trek Beyond. I think it was a Chinese production company, so I'm not sure if they're not going to be involved with this one. No release date has been set for the film, but a likely target would be the summer of 2020, which would have
it seems like so far away, but it's only like 2 years.
Well, the film would go into production probably in 2019, which I think makes sense. Probably could be late this year into early next year. So Quinto's mention of logistics could be referring to ensuring the actors in high demand, including Chris Hemsworth, returning to play George Kirk, are available. And also, you also have Zoe, who I think they're finally going into actually filming the Avatar sequels, which I say actually because I keep hearing rumors about they're started, they haven't started, it's back in production again. They're filming three at once, they're filming one at a time. I don't know what's going on. You also have Chris Pine, who is now filming a Wonder Woman sequel, and if that does well, he might be in another. So all these actors, you have to coordinate everybody's schedule at the same time. Probably have Simon Pegg with another Mission Impossible movie. And to me, that is probably the hardest part of these logistics, is getting all the actors back together again.
Should have gone with no names.
Actually, right. I'm looking at Chris Pine's IMDb right now, and it says Wonder Woman 1984.
Yep.
And then right after that is untitled Star Trek sequel.
He's not old enough to have played in Wonder Woman 1984.
You'll have to wait and see that film.
I have to tell you, untitled Star Trek sequel is not an appealing title.
Well, they ran through a focus group and they liked it better than the other titles. So,
Star Trek Beyond, untitled Star Trek sequel.
So the second part of this is Kelvin crew in Tarantino Trek after all. Cohen also asked Quinto about the reports of the Quentin Tarantino Star Trek project, and the actor may have revealed something when he said that would be the one after Star Trek IV, which I think is also still in the works. He is doing his Charles Manson movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, this summer, so we will do this one now and then that one down the line.
They should film both at the same time. Save some time.
Well, the interesting thing is the use of the word "we" will do that one down the line, because there were all these reports that Tarantino's movie was not necessarily anything to do with the Kelvin timeline Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
whether that meant just we in the we meaning Star Trek as a total, hard to say, but people are reading into this that, oh, definitely that it's going to be something involving, you know, the Kelvin timeline Trek. I don't know. I'm not necessarily convinced that that's the case.
You know, it's just, I think it's way too early to try and read anything into this.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Hard. Otherwise, you could, you know, if you do, you're just making, you know, making stuff up. I mean, what do we know? The only person knows is Quentin Tarantino and, you know, and company. So, I don't know. It's fun to speculate. I guess that's what we do, right?
But, you know, every time you speculate, things can get depressing. And if they get depressing, you want something to take that edge off. Well, Craig, I'm working on these segues as best I can.
How about this one for you, Clinton?
I know.
Hear the desk bell, take a drink.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
So,
and speaking of drink.
Yes. I like mine better.
Yeah. It was going like this.
Somebody needs to wind the rubber band in that warp engine.
And all the listener heard was this.
Yeah.
Right. I work hard on these segues. I work hard on them.
Yeah, so let's uncork the story.
Clinton, are you there?
I swear, every time I hear that sound effect, I think of Ren and Stimpy.
Can you give us any more? There we go. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, today.
Keep going.
So today, the Silver Screen Bottling Company announced a new line of officially licensed Star Trek-inspired spirits, off with the launch of James T. Kirk Straight Bourbon Whiskey. The new Kirk whiskey is described as an artesian bourbon that celebrates Captain Kirk's bold spirit of adventure.
I think that's artisan, not artesian.
Not the way William Shatner pronounces it.
Touché. Well, touché.
So the new Kirk bourbon is a small batch release selected from a choice of barrels aged between 4 and 12. According to the Silver Screen Bottling, the Star Trek whiskey exhibits a depth of richness seen only in the finest examples of bourbon and William Shatner's acting. I'm sorry.
Hey,
and with notes of caramel.
The depths of Shatner's acting?
Yeah.
You just ruined their whole brand right there.
That's why it says light underneath. Let's keep going.
So it has examples with notes of caramel, Asian spice, and pecan, which is crafted in the highest respect for the whiskey and for the man that bears its name. Okay. So according to the Silver Screen veteran, Star Trek graphic designer Mike Okuda contributed to the development of the James T. Kirk bourbon whiskey. You can reserve your limited bottle at jamestkirkbourbon.com for a retail price of $69.99.
Now, did Mike Okuda contribute to the whiskey or the bottle design?
Says development of the whiskey.
He was a taste focus group.
Ah, I see. He also was the focus group for the name of that next Star Trek movie. So take that, you know, keep that in mind.
Yeah. So I'm becoming a little bit of a bourbon snob. So I'm wondering, I got some questions about this, but I would drink it.
Craig, that's not a snob if you just say, I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll drink it.
You're such an aficionado with a.
Well, I mean, no, I'm starting to learn a lot more about bourbon. I'm like, okay, so they don't say Kentucky straight bourbon, it's straight bourbon whiskey. And they mention some Asian spices in it. And I'm like, I don't know.
Five Spice. She was in the Spice Girls.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to. No, yeah, no. I don't know. I get questions.
Well, you can get answers to them, obviously, if you just go to a tasting sample at San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, I'm on my way.
All righty.
They just buy the bottle. It'd be cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. And it also says they're going to additional spirits set to make their debut there. So the first thing my wife Bonnie said, she said, really? Why isn't the Scotty one first?
Scotch. I don't know.
I'm sure it's on the table.
Because Kirk had to be first, just like always.
Yeah. All right. And that wraps up Subspace Chatter per se, but.
Wait. It's been a couple of weeks and we haven't talked about Vulcan, Alberta, Canada.
Well, funny you should mention that, because we have now, we're going to take our episodic trip to Vulcan, Alberta, Canada for some news from there. And this comes to us.
It's going to be like a weather report.
TheVulcanAdvocate.com. They have their own website. USS Vulcan float docked for this year's parade season. Wow. You heard me right. The town's award-winning USS Vulcan float will not be entered into parades this summer.
I'm canceling my trip.
Originally, we thought we could have some of it ready for Spock days, but it's not, said Tom Grant, Vulcan's mayor. Last year, Keith Brooks and Rich Howard were on the float committee and had made changes to the float by putting it on a new chassis. They also added an engine, which is, I think, good if it's afloat, transmission, transfer case, and drivetrain. What the heck did this thing have before?
It's self-propelled. Maybe it was pulled on a trailer.
It's really great driving now, Grant said. The plan is to build on some of what was done last year with Grant, local welder Gary McKinnon, and town staff working on the float. That's right. The mayor works on the float, ladies and gentlemen.
They're thrilled they were mentioned on a huge podcast like this.
They are indeed. The float is to go back into its original length as well. So take that.
One-to-one scale.
Yes, it's amazing. No wonder it's got an engine. When the changes are made, people will be able to stand or sit on the perimeter of the float. Previously, one person could ride on the dish. How do you ride on the dish of the float? The dish is, it's, you'd fall. How do you ride? Anyway, and six people could ride on seats in the center.
Nice.
We will make it look like the spaceship at the entrance to town, Grant said. Now, that's interesting because I did look at the float itself, and the float previously had a very TOS look to it. Mm-hmm. And the statue that they have in town is a refit movie Enterprise. So we're talking about substantial changes here, if we're to believe Mayor Grant. Other things to be improved are the sound system and the smoke generators. That's right, smoke generators.
Because smoke comes up. It's going to look like Flash Gordon's ship going down the street.
Scotty, I need more power in those smoke generators.
We're hoping by the time we're done that it will be in great shape, Grant said. The hope is to have the work on the float completed in time for next year's parade season. We don't want it to do it half-baked, Grant said. So I'm hoping that next year we will see this magnificent new version of the float.
It's a lot of tissue paper flowers to make, kids.
Is the news from Vulcan, Alberta, Canada.
And now for the weather. So today we had a high of 71.
Oh, I can check the weather. You want the weather? I can check that for you.
I was looking at it right now. Coming in this week, we got a cooling trend coming into this weekend, and a pleasant weekend it is. 69 degrees and 66.
We can also talk about the extension to walking path paved. You know, that's news also. But anyway, enough about Vulcan, Alberta, Canada.
I have my whole weather things in my head, and then you ruined it. Thanks.
You got to spread it out. You got to spread it out. You don't want to pay it all away in one episode. All right.
That's good advice from the comedy master.
So always leave them wanting more, especially when it comes to segues, apparently. But anyway, it's time to close up our subspace chatter.
Do we have press something for that?
I don't know. Press a button. Do something. Whatever works.
Don't sit there.
Tribbles are everywhere. I do want to mention, though, that in addition to all the stories we did cover, we just don't have time to cover everything. So if you go to the show notes for episode 23 over at thetopicistrek.com, you'll find additional stories that we just didn't have time for because we had to go to Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. But anyway,
like extra presents under the tree.
Indeed, indeed. It's time to head out on our main mission. They never seem to press the same buttons, but yet somehow we always end up on the mission. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a Z minus 10,000 meter deep dive into one subject and try to stay on course. Now, at the top of the show, we talked about the dismissal of Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harberts and the fact that Alex Kurtzman will be taking over those responsibilities. But then the other shoe dropped. This is while we were away as well, that Alex Kurtzman has been signed to a new five-year, and how appropriate, he's on a five-year mission.
I didn't even put that one together. Oh, my God.
Oh, Craig, try to keep up.
Extension of his production agreement with CBS Television Studios. And you're going, well, that's nice. He's doing that stuff. What does that mean to me, a Star Trek fan? Yeah. Well, a part of this deal charges him with extending the Star Trek franchise for CBS. And this includes a new series.
Patrick Stewart.
Miniseries.
Also starring Patrick Stewart.
And other content, including animation.
With drawings of Patrick Stewart.
Yes, well.
Right.
You've got this, somehow this Patrick Stewart fetish. I don't understand it.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
See what I mean?
Don't set me up like that.
Give me back my show. I feel like suddenly I'm really... All right, anyway. The deal also gives CBS Television Studios exclusive rights to produce all television content created and developed by Kurtzman and his Secret Hideout production company. We don't care so much about that. It's the Star Trek stuff we're interested in.
I came up with this great idea for a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, and it takes place on the ship. I'll call it the Wilbur and... Wait a minute. Oh, so anyway.
Boo.
They're right. Yeah, Wilbur.
The Redenbacher.
All right, so that really is the extent of what we know about what's going to be happening. So let's move off of the facts and go into rumors and speculation, shall we?
Yes, and why not?
Right, we needed a button for that.
We did. A speculation button? I don't know how that So the first one is we talk about the series, and one series idea is a Starfleet Academy series. And as we know, there's been talk about a Starfleet Academy series almost since Star Trek itself started. I think even Gene proposed one at one point, and I believe that
Wasn't there talk of a spinoff on TNG when Wesley went to Starfleet Academy?
Yeah, and I think Harv Bennett also proposed one as well, I think at one point for...
Well, the reason I said that is because when Wesley was there, it was kind of fleshed out with a lot of actors and stuff, the whole, you know, non-TNG, you know, they're at Starfleet. It looked like they could just pick up and start making a show. So I thought it was kind of like a stepping off point, but it never happened.
Right. They call those backdoor pilots.
That was a stepping off point for Wesley Crusher.
And Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah. Right.
He stepped off right into not being on the show anymore.
That's right.
So this time around, the creative team behind the idea is Stephanie Savage and Josh Schwartz. Savage and Schwartz have already honed their skills in the teen superhero field worked on Marvel's Runaways. So again, we don't know if this is what we're talking about for the series. And I also wanted to point out that even though they're developing this stuff for CBS television productions, it doesn't necessarily mean that the shows will be on CBS. Mm-hmm. Or will be on CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. It just means that they'll be producing shows to extend the Star Trek brand. Someone was speculating that a show like this maybe would be something would work on the CW.
Well, look at Marvel. They have shows on that are on Hulu, that are on Fox, they're on Netflix. So they got to kind of spread out. Yeah, ABC. Yeah, they're all spread out. So. They could probably go that route a little bit, and I'm, you know, which it would all kind of draw you into hey, I want to watch Discovery or the tentpole series that they got for Star Trek at the time, you know, whatever that would be.
Right. And this is, you know, this comes back as we're talking about these speculations. This comes back to that whole point of right now we're in a complete dry spell. We don't have a movie. We don't have Star Trek Discovery until potentially the beginning of next year or sometime next year, hopefully the beginning at least. And I think what CBS wants to do is to avoid this at all costs in the future by saying we need to have other things in the pipeline to keep Star Trek out there.
Because they haven't had dry spells before.
Well,
yeah, right.
But I mean, you don't really want, I mean, if you get momentum built up, you don't want to constantly have to try to build that momentum back up again.
Yep.
You know, once it's going. And I think that, you know, in the old days, we could kind of count on this kind of back and forth between movies and television shows. But, you know, obviously now Paramount and the CBS merger is probably not going to happen. And so those two aren't coordinating with each other. And it just could be, you know, if we're talking about the next Star Trek movie possibly being in 2020 and Discovery not on until 2019, there's nothing going on for a long dry spell here. Now, the second thing that's been floating around, and I believe we talked about this rumor last time based on a comment that Patrick Stewart made, is Patrick Stewart in something, anything, even as we're as I was reading stuff off, maybe animated.
The Star Patrick Trek Hollywood Holiday Special with Patrick Stewart.
No, yeah. No, no.
He's going to sing.
No,
and
no.
Guess what? B. Arthur's coming back.
Yes, but instead of Life Day, it's Get a Life Day. But anyway.
And, right. And he's only in like one scene working on his ready room.
Oh, yeah, somehow. Yet somehow Grandpa, you know, Chewbacca is still there. But anyway.
Grandpa Worf.
So it's I think it's doubtful that Patrick Stewart, who's 77 years old, is going to want to do series television again.
Yeah.
You could throw a lot of money at him, but I don't think that's going to work with Sir Patrick.
I think what makes sense is, like you mentioned, the miniseries. I don't think necessarily a long-term series for Patrick Stewart, but something like, a 5-6 episode part series, maybe something like that would be fun. I think, for me, it would be great. I don't know. Maybe.
See, yeah, he's slaving away at 77, but I'm enjoying watching it. But anyway.
Entertain me, monkey.
I was just struck by the fact that what if you combine these two things that Patrick Stewart's, you know, Picard was head of Starfleet Academy, would only have to appear like in beginnings of episodes or every once in a while.
I was thinking a cameo thing as well. And yeah, you got a good point. Putting him in Starfleet Academy would be a good place for him. Let's start writing something.
Make it so. Now, another rumor floating around involves our favorite.
Here we go.
Khan. Oh.
Somebody's finger was itchy on that one.
That's right.
Hey, you got the sound clips. You got to use them.
This might be a mini series. We don't know. Developed by Nick Myers. We do know that he's talked about some project. Again, he was vague on what he was talking about. Working on something he put aside for a while, and maybe this was waiting for this whole deal to go down. We don't know if this would be early Khan, whether this would be SETI Alpha 5 Khan, whether it would involve the eugenics wars.
I just had an idea. Maybe this goes on Technorama.
How are the turnips doing?
We haven't had rain in quite some time.
No. I know it's a planet to be tamed, but I just don't see it.
We haven't had rain in weeks.
Tend to the garden.
Today's weather is dry and windy. Yeah.
Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. He was on SETI Alpha 5 or 6?
Yeah. No, this is SETI Alpha 5.
Okay.
Six, so 5.
6 was bashed out of orbit and 5 took 6's orbit?
I'm going to tell you, that messes with my head.
When you move like, further away from the sun, how do you get hotter and drier?
Maybe the orbit is slightly changed. Two things could happen. I don't know if this is how the mechanics of this work. I could be clear. First, one thing could be happened is the orbit might be one that's not completely circular, and therefore you get close and far away.
Yes, that's what I was getting ready to say. Yes.
Some wicked season changes.
The second thing could happen is that the rotation of the planet could slow, and so you're just exposed to the sun enough a lot longer.
Rotation of the planet doesn't involve another planet's orbit, though. This is where somebody who's listening may actually write in or call in.
Wait a minute. I think we're getting a little too deep for this story.
That's my job.
Hey, set aside the orbital dynamics for a little bit.
Okay.
Move along.
So I could see, because I'm speculating on this, you know, either you fill in the gaps of the time somehow between TOS and the Wrath of Khan, or if you went even further back and had one that dealt with the lead up to the eugenics wars.
Well, you know, now that the 90s are over, we can actually place a show in the 90s.
Right.
Actually, I would be down for seeing Khan and how things played out. I know there's a book, or there was the Eugenics Wars book. Books. I think it was a series, wasn't it? Like 3 or 4 books. Anyway, but I'd like to see that, his rise to infamy.
Conway, right. Hammer pants, the whole thing.
And no, please don't.
Can't touch this.
And I know this would mean recasting Khan, but I think
it's been done. That's been done.
Yes, it has. But you're playing him also a lot younger. I don't know how far back you're going with this. Of how long did it take? I could conceivably see this being something that starts off in the 70s, even as experimentation that leads up to the eugenics war. So you've got potential to have someone else cast in that role without it seem too terribly jarring.
Sure.
Now, the last thing is the animated series. And we know nothing about what the animated series would be. We don't have an idea of what time frame it would be set in, what kind of crew it would have. Would it be hand-drawn animation? Would it be computer animation? Nothing about that.
Well, the only thing I do remember is that Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orci they were talking about an animated series back when they rebooted Star Trek after it was successful. The Star Trek, the 2009 Kelvin one.
Yeah.
So they had mentioned that, and I don't know if they were wanting to do Kelvin timeline, but I imagine that some, obviously Alex Kurtzman has some notes from that or some thoughts. So they've explored it a little bit already, but I don't know, obviously, what this will play out to be.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because one of the things that you can do is a lot of actors who retired, semi-retired, or they're much more willing to do animation because they just go into the studio, record their lines, and they're done. They don't have to go into the hot lights. They don't, they don't have the odd hours. And I think that it would allow you to utilize a lot of the voice talent from all the different eras of Trek in this. And I think it could be really amazing to have something like that. You could literally bounce around between a bunch of different shows.
I hadn't thought of that.
Now, questions that I have off of all this. The first one is, how well is all this going to mesh together? I mean, we already have a different look that we're trying to mesh of, the Star Trek Discovery to the original series. Yeah. Obviously, in the average person's mind, you also have the Kelvin timeline. So they don't know that CBS and Paramount are on the same thing. They just know Star Trek is Star Trek. So when you're doing, you're adding possibly another series and animation and the minis and all this stuff together, can it all work together to be one thing when you have all these different looks of things going on?
Yeah, that's a good point. There, it's almost like the Marvel universe where you've got the Hulk, Thor, Iron Man stuff, and then we got the X-Men over here. It's supposed to be the same universe, but it doesn't quite fit. This would be even more of a change from that. If you bring up a good point, right now it feels, to the experienced Star Trek person, it feels somewhat fragmented.
Right. And I'm hoping that whatever they do, it's kind of in a guideline of, and this may be the advantage, at least for the CBS stuff, of having Kurtzman overseeing it all, is that hopefully it can be consistent within itself. And whether or not that can tie in with what Paramount is doing, you know, I mean, the look of the Kelvin timeline is not so far away from the original series that it doesn't work. And I think that you don't want to stray so far away that they do start to become so distinct from each other that there's no connection. Now, the other question I have, though, in that regard is essentially what Kurtzman is doing is he's becoming the new Rick Berman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rick Berman tutored under Gene Roddenberry. So he mm-hmm. was versed in this is what Star Trek is, and he kind of went through this apprenticeship to do stuff. Now Kurtzman, his apprenticeship has pretty much been at the forefront. You know, you weren't sitting on the sidelines. Your first assignment with Star Trek is to reboot Star Trek itself yeah. with a big screen.
Well, not necessarily. They've done a lot of TV together in the past.
Right. Right. But I mean, I'm talking about in Star Trek itself,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, yeah, in the Star Trek world. Yeah. It's like,
right. So you're kind of I'm thinking about Rick Berman for the, you know, pluses and minuses that he had. He kind of viewed himself as attempting to keep Gene's flame lit.
Sure.
Of how Star Trek was handled.
If you will.
Indeed. And speaking of torchbearers, you've got someone else who creates the torchbearer, but they're not necessarily in that exact same groove. So are you morphing what Star Trek itself is, because now you have the one person in charge, the Kevin Feige, the Rick Berman of things, who views things a bit off to the side of where Star Trek was previously?
You sound cautious.
I am cautious because I don't feel like Kurtzman has done anything that's so egregious. You know, I know some people do, though, that's so egregious that it just blows everything Gene believed in out of the water. And I feel like he skirts that, but I want to make sure that it just, again, this whole idea of not going so far afield, that it kind of has this cohesiveness that works in with the bigger picture of 50 years worth of history of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my concern, is that his apprenticeship was not an apprenticeship. It was right up front. Here's my vision.
The thing that keeps Star Trek fans coming back is that soul of Star Trek. And if somebody doesn't understand that, it's just going to implode.
Yeah.
So all that said, it's not like I'm not excited about this. I mean, this is great news. You know, I just have a little bit of a cautious hat on, which needs to be fitted again. It's kind of loose, but
lopsided.
But I'm very excited about this idea of more Star Trek out there and having a continuous flow of it rather than the fits and starts we've been having over the past like 10 years or so, and have something always new to look forward to, you know, selfishly, obviously, for the show as well, because it gives us stuff to talk about all the time. But to watch, to see something new, to see it going in new directions, you know, our animated series that we had previously was a little bit wanting. So hopefully now with everything you can do with animation, that it will be something spectacular in that regard. So I am excited about it. I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer on this. I am excited about it. I just, you know, I think I'm anxious to see what comes of it. Any final thoughts from you, gentlemen?
No,
on I'm all this news?
I'm cautious as well. Again, it's going to be an interesting transition, just like, you know, anytime you have a change of leadership at a company or in a family or whatever, it's going to involve change. Let's hope that the core of what Star Trek is remains intact, that the writers and producers can keep it that way.
I say, hey, this is where we're at. Bring it. I want to see it.
There you go.
I'm tired of waiting.
And they will bring it probably in about a year and a half or so.
In 2020.
Exactly. Well, something to look forward to, something to keep things going. All right, so we're going to come back from our main mission by pressing a button or something, I'm sure.
There we go.
Excellent. And it's time to head out on our Warp Speed Roundtable. So we talked...
Come on, I can do better than that. Here we go.
Yeah.
Starting it, rolling downhill. Here we go, picking up speed. Warp 1.5. Warp 1.6.
The cliff is coming up! Quick!
Warp 1.62.
Now would be a good time. All right. So, we were just talking about Starfleet Academy. So, I want to ask you gentlemen, what would get you kicked out of Starfleet Academy? I will start with Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Oh, man. It's a toss-up. I mean, I definitely get kicked out if I was making inappropriate actions towards the Admiral's daughter. But given my current aptitude for all things technical, I'd probably get kicked out for hacking the Kobayashi Maru again, especially after they tried to put security measures around Kirk's attempt, because he already busted it up for everybody, ruined it for everyone. But I'm going to keep hacking on it until I get it right.
Maybe they changed the Kobayashi Maru to it's the you must lose scenario. It's like you it constantly makes you try to win. Anyway.
Like playing the Mad Magazine game where the object is to lose all your money.
That's right.
And then you fold in the edges of the bridge and it makes another picture. Okay. Let's go on.
It's a Klingon destroyer.
Let's ask to Craig. What would get you kicked out of Starfleet Academy?
Well, my cadet commander's a jerk, so I'm going to take his horse and sneak it into Dean Wormer's office.
Wait a minute. Not out of Faber College, out of Starfleet Academy.
He keeps going to the wrong school. I can't get him to...
Toga parties at Starfleet Academy.
Oh, wow. Dumb and stupid is no way to go through the universe, the galaxy, Mr. Stepp.
I don't know. I think I don't know. Smoking weed in the dorms.
Oh my.
Yeah, we're in trouble now.
But well, I think I'd get kicked out for trying to make clones of myself in the transporter so I could blow off my classes. Enough of that. We've got 50 of you running around here, well, for crying out loud.
Do cadets have access to the transporters?
Oh, they do in my universe.
So he would be Thomas Clinton.
That's right.
With a goatee?
Yes. No, I already have the goatee, so I'm already set there. All right. So if you have any ideas or reasons why you would get kicked out of Starfleet Academy, you can leave us a note on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/thetopicistrek.
Dean Wormer is going to be really mad.
He is indeed.
Starfleet House.
Get upset when the Klingons bombed Rurapente? Klingons? Let him, he's on a roll.
Delta anyway. Shield House? What are we calling this house?
Oh gosh, you're doing the speech. Oh, that's funny.
Alrighty. Let's get to the end of the show.
Did you say it was over?
Is this show over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Alrighty. It's time to refill the dilithium chamber and get out of here. Wow,
Craig, you really derailed the end of this one, didn't you? Where can they find more about you, Clinton?
Why, they can find out more about me over at comedyforecast.com, or you can follow me at Comedy Forecast on Twitter.
That's with
or the number. Facebook or yeah. Wherever. Yes, all one word with the number 4. What about you, gentlemen?
Well, Craig, me, and the rest of the Animal House are available at Technorama Podcast over at chuckchat.com. You can find us on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all that other good stuff if you look for Technorama Podcast.
All right, so as we prepare our Deathmobile, we're going to cue the music.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait, that's the rock movie, too.
I did derail this one. No, that's funny.
Peter Gunn was in the Blues Brothers.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put on the red shirt.
Delta House!
This is gonna be great!
Sorry.